Welcome to Eternity Now. I'm Senior Pastor and Evangelist Kyle Huckins. We're a U.S.-based church and evangelism movement reaching every color and culture for Christ. Our podcasts, videos, doctrine, history, and much more are on our website, eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com. This broadcast is made possible by your tax-deductible giving. Go to our website and click Support Us to see how you can help bring the good news of eternal life to 1 million people this year. Thanks for listening. Now for one of my recent messages.
There is a wonderful saying of Christ to the religious leaders of his time as they pummeled him with false contentions, trying to catch him in his words. Not even believing in the resurrection, they asked him who would get a woman in heaven when she had more than one husband. He said to them, "You are mistaken, that is, deceived, misled, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Matthew 22, verses 29 to 32. The 18th century philosopher Voltaire loved to tear down Christianity, using the worst sarcasms and put-downs, even saying, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible in the earth, except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. However, Voltaire, being all too human, had a stroke. He was in such agony he gnashed his teeth in rage against God and man, but at times pleaded, "O Christ, O Lord Jesus," or observed, "I must die, abandoned of God and man." As his death drew near, his condition was so bad, his agnostic friends kept away from his bedside, but guarded his door that others might not know his double-minded, pitiful state. Even his nurse swore that she would never again witness the death of such an infidel. Interestingly, Christians later bought Voltaire's house and used his own printing press to produce copies of the Bible. For they do the scriptures and the power of God. The Lord not only has supremacy over all creation on the pages of the Bible, he has it this very hour over all the universe as well. I discuss this in my message, The Power of God, yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go to our God in prayer. Oh, Father God, I thank you so much for this time to be able to preach the gospel. Oh, Lord God, let us revel in your power, your wonder, your love, your care for us. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you so much for Jesus Christ, that we may be able to live eternally with him, you, each other. Oh, Lord God, bless this time together, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Just as the scripture prophesies, here at the end of the church age, shortly before the rapture takes believers to heaven, we Christians are hard-pressed on every side. Some of us, me included, have lost jobs due to their faith, others their marriages, still others their lives. Yet I'm the most joyful and trusting in the Lord I've ever been, not just due to the Bible and its dependability, sureness, and truth, but what I've heard and seen of the power of God in this age and others. The Holy Spirit doesn't every day turn upside down the laws of nature or society. If he did, then how would we know he's moving? Our lives would be completely random. But sometimes, yes, sometimes, often when we least suspect it, the Lord God Jehovah intervenes in the affairs of men and women to encourage us that he is watching, capable, caring, and strong. You'll see this if you know the scriptures and the power of God. We're going to go to several passages today. Our first one is Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, our Lord Jesus speaking. "If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." I was talking to my friend George from Nebraska on the phone one night last year, and he told me his wife had a prayer request for me. Dory's usually very quiet, so when she asked to speak to me, I knew it had to be important. It sure was. Her sister was at death's door in the hospital and not expected to live. I led the three of us in praying for her recovery right there on the phone. A couple days later, George called me to say Dory's sister had flatlined in the hospital. No heartbeat. But after just a little bit, her heart began to beat again. I went up to their town to visit them and do some business, and the three of us went to see her sister. She was awake in bed, talking understandably. All of us in the room, the three of us, the sister and pair of her friends, joined hands, and I prayed for the lady's full recovery. I also prayed with you here on Eternity Now for her. A few days later, she walked out of that hospital under her own power. I can't say I fasted, prayed hour after hour, or went to other extraordinary lengths for this lady, but God did as I asked and to which other believers agreed, knowing the scriptures and the power of God. Mark 10, verses 23 to 31. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The Lord called me a quarter century ago to start a Christian college out of nothing. There was no movement underway, no group. I moved to the city and started telling people what God had laid upon my heart, and eventually a board and leadership team came together. I lived quite humbly in a $375 a month one-bedroom apartment, taking as little money from the ministry as I could. In fact, many days I worked for free, having left a well-paying university professorship. Finally, I felt the Lord telling me to give to the effort $5,000 out of my savings, which were not substantial, but I did it without remorse. So I cashed in a mutual fund account, and the gift came to $5,050. When I sowed that seed, I prayed from this passage for a 100-fold return to the work of the Lord at the school. Well, we did get in some more gifts, but as we began to move into fall, I said to God, "Dear Father, I know you're going to provide, but could you give me an idea of when?" The answer was clear, December 21st. Let me say, it's extremely unusual for the Lord to give a specific date. Most times, that is not God. But here's what happened December 21st. I left the college's office to go to the Rotary Club luncheon, as I'd become a member mostly to do raising of consciousness and funds. I sat down at a table with some friends, and the vice president of a local bank came up to me, handed me an envelope, and said, "Here's something for the school." I thanked him and went back to my conversation. The bank always gave employees $100 each at Christmas time to donate to a charity of their choice, and I figured a couple selected the school. After lunch, I went to my car to leave, and I opened the envelope. There was a check there for $50,000, which came from a woman I never met who passed away. She directed her assets to be given away to Christian nonprofits that helped youth, and the bank vice president figured she would have donated to the school had she known about it. When I went to our bank to deposit the gift, I had a couple other checks with it, and the amount totaled $50,500, exactly 10 times what I gave. A few days before, Robert Morris, of TV preaching fame now, had come to town and preached how he gave what a church had given him to a missionary, that he received a check for precisely 10 times more written before the fact. The man who gave it to him said it was a blessing for his obedience in giving to that missionary. Well, I did the IRS work for us at the school. I always like to try to save money, and compiled the 5-year return for permanent 501c3 nonprofit status. I added up all the cash gifts given to us in that time. The total was $505,000, exactly 100 times my gift. I put down my pen and said, "Lord, you did it, didn't you?" I didn't have to hear a voice. The amazing peace gave me my answer. And by the way, the school received land and a lot of other donations, not in cash. So the total raised was more than $1 million overall. And I'd never done any serious fundraising in all my life. But you see, the Lord had, and he gave me the ability to do it, knowing the scriptures and the power of God. We go on to Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. My friend Jess came out of the same denomination that ordained me, the Church of God in Christ, mostly African American, and eventually he had a little independent church on the north side of Amarillo. There were two elderly ladies who were always late to service. Jess would go to the vestibule in the front of the building to shut the doors for Sunday morning worship, and sure enough, this pair would open them after he'd begun the service and walk on in. After a while, that started to irritate him. Well, one Lord's Day, Jess went out to shut the doors and suffered a heart attack that left him laying on the steps out front. Nobody inside knew, and he might have died right there. But then the two older women came and found him. They called the ambulance, they got to the scene in time, and saved Jess's life. He lived a good decade longer. And he said to me, thank God they were late. I swear I'm never going to have another bad day. Never going to let little things bother me like that. Knowing the scriptures and the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Our small town school had a Fellowship of Christian Athletes chapter. The sponsor invited me to speak about our church and the Lord. Unfortunately, that day a couple of the teams had to travel, so I had only about a half dozen kids attending. There was one, I'll call him Adam, who was a little slow. He may have had a learning difference. He asked lots of questions to the point of near distraction. But I kept going and went over my business cards, which, like ours at Eternity Now, had the way of salvation and steps of discipleship on the back. After I ended my presentation and the kids got up to leave, Adam came up and told me, you want to put the back of that card on a magnet. People need to know. He took a couple dozen of those cards, looking very happy to have them, and said, I'll be handing out these. That year, we had several accept Christ at our church for the first time in many years. Every last one of those people was a visitor. I have to wonder whether Adam told them about us through those cards, knowing the scriptures and the power of God. And a little earlier in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 1, Paul writes, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of a message preached to save those who believe. You might be surprised to know that I wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ until I was about 26. I grew up going to services once or twice a month at a theologically liberal mainline church and heard absolutely nothing convincing me of my need for God. To make the whole proposition even more preposterous, at 13, I was confirmed in the faith, though I missed many confirmation classes. The youth pastor let us copy off each other in homework, but I never attended the church after that. As a young man, I was an atheist and agnostic. The supernatural neither had been proven to me, nor was it observable, so I thought. So belief in a supreme being was illogical. One day, as I was well off the beaten track at a poorly visited national monument, just about to interview the park ranger for a radio news feature, an elderly woman gave both of us a pocket Gideon New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs, just a little old green book. That night, I started reading it, and I could see the truth in it. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior not long afterward, at 26, which is 2 13s, forsaking the world's foolishness for the wisdom of God. Since that time, I've preached to groups from 2 to 2,000 in person, led many to salvation and rededication, baptized in water and the Spirit, brought people together in matrimony, and buried them at funerals. At Eternity Now, I've preached to more people than I could ever have dreamed a few years ago. And several years back, the Lord put in my spirit that I was going to reach a lot of people for Jesus. And I said, Lord, how am I going to do that outside of what I know now? The answer came back to me, YouTube videos. I'd never done a YouTube video, but now I have. And I know the scriptures and the power of God in me and with thee, all three. There are five takeaways today. These are points I'd like you to think about, meditate on, pray about, put into your life. Number one, the worldly have a certain logic, but it rules out the greatest truth in the universe. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. The worldly have a certain logic, but it rules out the greatest truth of the universe. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. I know what it's like to be a non-believer, both as a child and an adult. However, my logic in those days was tightly focused upon our planet and this present existence. Nowhere else was there life but on Earth. Yet here, there were millions of species, far more than even scientists have ever described. And while the survival of the fittest often rules the natural realm, it does not so occupy humanity's spiritual element. For many have chosen death for Christ instead of life denying him. And scores of people have been changed in attitude, personality, preferences, and beliefs by encountering the living God. These make little sense to the secular world, but they're perfectly explainable by the presence of the Lord and the principles of his word. Number two, God's provision for us in mind, heart, and hand is undeniable, and it's based upon knowing the scriptures. God's provision for us in mind, heart, and hand is undeniable, and it's based upon knowing the scriptures. We're only able to judge whether the Lord is living and active in the universe after reading with an open mind the 66 books of the Bible. Once we've done that, then we'll know the loving, compassionate, powerful nature of God and see his principles come to life here and now. A friend, how else do you explain my giving an odd sum like $5,050, praying for a hundredfold return, God multiplying it to the praise of his glory and his work, and find a few years later he had done precisely that with $505,000? Friend, the answer only can be an almighty God. Number three, if we'll return to the bedrock biblical principles of forgiveness and patience, then we'll begin to grasp how strong God is and how weak we are without him. If we'll return to the bedrock biblical principles of forgiveness and patience, then we'll begin to grasp how strong God is and how weak we are without him. Jess fumed over the ladies who were always late, but they ended up saving his life. I was exasperated with the young man asking odd questions, but he became the most moved to action in my talk. And no, not many of the Lord are mighty, but God will make us so if only we'll believe him and practice what he said. Number four, should we begin to take our eyes off self and put them on Almighty God, we would realize our part in this Christian life is neither that hard to understand nor so difficult to execute. Should we begin to take our eyes off self and put them on Almighty God, we would realize our part in this Christian life is neither that hard to understand nor so difficult to execute. I didn't know what was wrong physically with my friend's sister-in-law, but the Lord did. All I had to do was act in faith by leading in prayer his family and we here at Eternity Now, and what we desired was accomplished. In Mark 5, our Lord is en route to address a need. The chapter reads, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said, Talita kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. O friend, only believe. Only believe and you shall receive. the power of God. And our last point, number five, the Lord is the only way to explain how the Christian's able to walk through this evil generation with the greatest peace ever, showing people the scriptures and the power of God. The Lord is the only way to explain how the Christian's able to walk through this evil generation with the greatest peace ever, showing people the scriptures and the power of God. Let's be honest, our country is falling apart. America's economy, educational institutions, government, law and order, all are hanging by an increasingly frayed thread. Virtually all the nations of the globe are in or preparing for war. Shortages are plaguing people in a world of plenty. But God, Almighty Jehovah Yahweh, I am that I am, made this universe. And those who follow him through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, will soon depart this mortal coil and spring into life abundant and eternal. Praise God Almighty in the name of Jesus. Oh, friend, I want to ask you truly, it's just you and me right now. Do you have peace today? Or are you anxious, frightened, scared? If you're prideful in your unbelief like Voltaire, then are you ready to accept the ruinous end that he had? If you allow yourself to be at the mercy of this fallen world system of coveting, extorting, lying, and manipulating, then are you willing to live with that forever in hell, where there's no end, no escape, no encouragement? Should you be headed hellward today, would you change your direction to heavenward? You can, in just the next couple of minutes. I'll tell you how. There are but four essentials to salvation. To repent of sin, to turn from it, and ask God's forgiveness for what you've done wrong and what you failed to do you should have. He will surely forgive you for Jesus' sake. Secondly, confess faith in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but by him. Believe Christ rose in body and spirit that third day in the tomb. Our body and spirit must be resurrected, so his must have been as well. And then to follow our Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. That means to bow the knee to him, to do as he has said, and to avoid the pitfalls he's warned us of. Oh, you won't do it perfectly. I haven't done it perfectly in 20 years as an ordained preacher. But my friend, our Lord God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins as we confess them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to lead a prayer of repentance and faith now. You can repeat after me, and if you believe what you're saying, then you'll begin your journey into Jesus right now, or rededicate your life and connect back to that power source, the Lord God Jehovah. Let's go to him in prayer. Father God, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. I confess faith in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to you but by him. I believe Jesus Christ rose in body and spirit the third day in the tomb, and I will follow him as Lord and Savior, repenting should I fall. Come into my heart, Lord God, and save me. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. And it is by faith. And now go on and practice. Praise God in the name of Jesus. It is so wonderful to know that we are saved, that no one can take away our place and eternity with the Lord God. No one is going to rob us of our peace. Oh, how wonderful. In this world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Take courage, my friend, for I have overcome the world, Christ says. So once we're saved, what do we need to do? Well, get baptized. Go under that cleansing wave. This is a public profession of faith. Going in front of others, yes, you get a little wet, you look a little different there with your smock on, but Jesus did it, so we need to as well. Read the Bible. Find out about those 7,500 promises of God to you. That's a real number, my friend. Pray to receive them. If you don't have the peace and calm in your life of God, well, ask for it and God will give it to you. Come to church. See us online, 5 p.m. Saturdays live with our service and Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Mountain with our Revelation Bible study. We'd love to have you. Fellowship with other believers. Take time at home and abroad. Make sure to get to know the people of God. You'll find friendship there. You'll find fellowship that is joy in being able to be with others. And you're going to be fitted into a fighting force with them as well. And then pursue personal relationship with Almighty God. Yes, you have that now through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty has been paid by Him. You've received it by faith. Now walk it out. Pray to Him, talk to Him, walk with Him, read the Bible with Him, talk about Him with other people. Oh, this is a wonderful life, my friends. It has joy and eternity in our hearts. It has love in our soul. Yes, it's difficult sometimes, but we overcome by the power of God, according to the Scripture. Remember, Eternity Now is an evangelism outreach and church headquartered in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, USA, and touching the world. Head to eternitynow.com to see our statement of faith, ministry news, end of days, timeline, videos, podcasts, and much more. You can see the weekly message Saturdays, 5 p.m. Mountain Live on facebook.com/eternitynowmedia, youtube.com/@eternitynow, Twitter's @KyleHuckins, or LinkedIn as well. Anywhere you're seeing this live now, you can see every week live. Our Revelation Bible study is Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Mountain, same pages and platforms. Our group is 3 years old and reached 2 million for Christ in that time. We want to do another 1 million this year, reach a million more in 24, but we need your help. $25 a month reaches 10,000 for Christ in a year, $50 a month, 20,000 people. Go to eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com, and click support us to see more and give securely. Or just go directly to our official secure PayPal donation page, bit.ly/reachamillion. Again, bit.ly, bit.ly/reachamillion. Well, let's go to our Father in prayer for you, me, and all. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much for this time together today. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that we can see the Bible come to life, your wisdom lived out before us. Oh, Lord God, we pray for peace in Christ for our country. We pray for the wisdom of God to our leaders and faith, hope, and love to every believer. Conviction of Christ to each non-believer. Healing for Michelle. Financial blessing to Rajat. Healing to Hazen. Help for Sarah. And Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. Oh, but let us see every person saved who can be before that date. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. You can contact me directly at khuckins, khuckins, at eternitynow.com. Send me prayer requests, praise reports, ask me Bible questions, whatever you like. khuckins at eternitynow.com. Or call or text me at USA 806-463-8793. Again, USA 806-463-8793. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, and give you peace.